Spreading some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Spiritual Growth Academy. We are jumping into series two of Destiny's Purpose, Seven Keys to Aligning with the Holy Spirit. I want to shout out Life Unapologetic with Athena podcast as I'm recording both for the Spiritual Growth Academy Facebook private group, as well as my podcast listeners. I love you all. Also, as well as the Spiritual Growth Academy itself platform, which is a totally different platform from the other two. So shout out to everybody who supports me. Thank you for holding me down. Listen, I'm excited to continue in this series because, as you guys know, I've been really going hard in this season of my life for purpose. I really want to live on purpose, right? I want to know what that looks like. I want to know the structure. I want to know the overall vehicle. I want the blueprints. And so I've been going really hard after that. And the more that I've been going hard after that, the more that the Spirit of God has been giving me access to material and readings and studies that just take me down all of these different avenues of profoundness in the Spirit of God. And so my goal, as it has always been for the Spiritual Growth Academy, for Life Unapologetically Unashamed listeners, is to make these deeper things of God practical, right? That we can apply them to our lives, because oftentimes we get stuck trying to make the Word of God practical. How do we incorporate it into our day-to-day? How do we walk this thing called purpose out? And so I pray that with this seven-part series of the Seven Keys to Aligning with the Holy Spirit, as it pertains to Destiny's Purpose, that it adds practicality, okay? And so I want to jump in to this study because, listen, it's been exciting for me. It's been eye-opening. It's definitely been a labor of love, and I'm just so grateful to have the opportunity to be able to provide this content. So we're looking at topic two. The first series, we looked at meditating on God's word and just how God promises that if we every day, at least twice a day, meditate on his word, it said day and night, right? That we would not only begin to be rooted and planted, right? We would not only begin to be able to endure, right? When something is rooted, it can endure seasons. If we look at nature and we look at plants, right? If a tree is rooted, deep rooted, strongly rooted, it can endure wind, it can endure rain, it can endure anything that is thrown at it because it's rooted. And even if it's cut down, right? Even if something is formed against it, because of the deep roots, it can regrow, it can resprout, right? And so God promised us one of the first practical steps that we learned last week, or in this case, yesterday for Facebook, last week for the podcast, is that if we meditate on God's word, we will become rooted in the thing that God has called us to do. We will begin to develop roots. As we're developing those roots, right, we're going to get blueprints. We're going to get access to next steps. We're going to get access to strategy. And as we get that access, practically, that scripture in Psalms 1 goes on to say that Psalms 1, 1 through 3 or 1, 1 through 5, that we are our leaves, right? They will not wither, right? They will be sustained. So as we get next steps, we begin to produce healthy fruit. We begin to produce sustainable fruit. What does that look like practically in life? That looks like us creating a product, us creating a service, right? Entrepreneurship, businesses, ministries, within an organization that we call our church home, that we will begin to see where we are supposed to be active outside of our day-to-day activities, right? And so it goes on to say, as the promise, if we follow the direction of meditating on his word day and night, after being rooted, that whatever we put our hand to do within the will of God, because at that point we will know the things that we at least should start doing, that it will prosper. Whatever we put our hands to do will prosper. And so now we want to go into series two, or topic two. It's titled Sensitivity to the Leadership of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? We know that Jesus went away and he said that he would send, that God would send another. He would be our teacher, our guide, our advocate, our standby, right? He would be our comforter, and that he would teach and walk us through all truth. But in order for him to do that, in order for him to walk us into purpose, in order for him to take the word of God and make it relatable to our season, our situation, our purpose, our skill sets, our gifts, we have to be sensitive to him. And that's a choice, right? There's nothing technical about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit outside of making the choice to be sensitive to him. So I wanted to look at the meaning of sensitivity. I always like to break things down so that they make sense. So sensitivity is the quality or condition of being sensitive. The quality or condition of being sensitive. Quality, right, means that it's of good substance. It's of good texture. We like quality materials. We like quality food, right? So the quality of time that we give to learning about the Holy Spirit, to spending time with the Holy Spirit, will make the difference between whether or not we are sensitive to him, whether or not the time that the time that we give him is quality, right? And so what does that look like practically? If we look at the first series, two times out of the day, right? Set down some time to give him some quality time, right? When you have a loved one or a spouse and you want to have quality time with them, that means that you want to carve out a certain amount of time to do a certain activity so that it is nourishing, it is fulfilling, it's quality, right? And so we want to do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. And then if we look at condition, right? We need to condition our physical body, right? Our senses, our habits, our behaviors to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And part of conditioning is consistency and discipline. So if we are consistent day and night, twice a day, giving the Holy Spirit uninterrupted time, then it's going to develop a sensitivity to all that is him. And that's obviously learning about him and reading the word of God. And one thing that I did in my year consecration was, it was about specifically learning about the Holy Spirit. I wanted to know who he was as an individual entity of the Trinity. I wanted to know his character, his mannerisms. I wanted to know who he was to me and how I related to him, how I was to be sensitive to him, how he would teach me things specifically. What would he teach me through dreams and visions? Am I more intuitive? Am I a feeler? Am I a seer? Am I a hearer? And so my journey was learning who he was so I could be sensitive to him, because now I have an awareness of who he is. So Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, right? And so if we're not led by the Spirit of God, then we're led by something else. It's either one or the other, right? Because there is no straddling the fence. There is no one foot in, one foot out. And I'm sorry for all my views. I didn't mean to leave that small. My bad. It's not one or the other. We are either all in with the Father, right, and the Spirit and the Son, or we are all in with whatever it is that we're doing that usually doesn't incorporate the three. And so being led by the Spirit of God, the word of God says we are sons of God, which means that we begin to get access to only the things that would be inherited by a son or a daughter or a child, right? Inheritance means that we have access to whatever that is that our family heritage provides us, you know. For many, it's wealth. For many, it's property. For many, it's materialistic things. For many, it's titles, right? But But as sons and daughters of the Most High, we have an inheritance in our sonship to the things of God. But we only learn about those things, we only become aware about those things through sensitivity, right? So if we look at sensitivity, if we look at our five physical senses, one of the five physical senses is touch. Touch is all about being sensitive to whatever we're feeling, right? So everybody uses the hot stove and fire, that if I touch, it's hot, it burns, right? But we use it from a child's perspective, and then we flip it from an adult's perspective. From a child's perspective, they may not know that the stove is hot. They may not know how to turn on the stove. They may not fully know and understand the function of a stove until they're taught, right? Until they are aware, until they know about that thing, right? The function of that thing, the consequences of knowing about that thing, right? How to or how not to. And so from an adult perspective, we know that a stove functions for cooking. We know that it gets hot. We know that it can be turned up or turned down, right? We know how to clean it when it cools down and when not to clean it when it's hot, right? And so if we think of the physical sense of touch and feel, we know the things that we're touching and we're sensitive to the things that we're touching because we have an understanding and awareness of what those things are. If I touch a book, I know that it's not going to harm me. I know that it is usually hard. I know that it is usually flexible. So if we flip that to our spiritual sense of feel, right, in order to become sensitive spiritually, in order to become sensitive to the things that we cannot see, it first brings in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I have to have faith that I can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I have to believe that there is another realm that I can go into and operate out of and through while still in the natural. I don't want to get too deep. I'm trying to stay practical. So how does the Holy Spirit lead us? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're led by the Holy Spirit by guidance, right? Guidance, and I wrote down the definition, guidance is advice or information aimed at resolving a problem or difficulty, especially as given by someone in authority. Come on here, somebody. Listen, God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways and thoughts. So it takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit to advise us on the information, on the strategy, on the blueprint of what is our purpose, what we are predestined, so that we can resolve a problem or difficulty that is given by the authority figure, God, right? What is the problem? Taking back dominion in the earth. What is the problem? Winning back souls for the kingdom. What is the problem? Showing others the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he did and gave for them, right? And so we need the Holy Spirit to guide us into our purpose, because our purpose is going to turn out being a vehicle to do that very thing that we were destined to be created for, to partner with his Spirit in the earth. God knew that there was a time and a place for our existence, right? He knew that we would be part of the new millennium, that we would be part of having access to his Spirit specifically to carry out things in the earth. And so we are led by the Holy Spirit, one, by guidance. He advises us, he teaches us, he counsels us, right? He comforts us even in the things that we have to be taught, because sometimes the things that we have to learn often are painful because we have to hit the brick wall enough times to say, stop. I think that's where I'm at. I think I've hit the brick walls enough to say, I want to live in purpose on purpose. I no longer want to get to purpose at some point. I want to seek it out as first and foremost, meaning I want to know God's will. I want to know God's word. I want to know God's heart. I want to know God's grace and mercy and love for me on purpose. My God, not because of situations and circumstances, but on purpose. Second, we are led by the Holy Spirit by drawing. Ah, my God, the meaning of drawing is gently pull or guide someone in a specific direction. I love this this thing that the Holy Spirit does called the unction, that he will draw you. He will woo your heart. What does that look like practically? Drawing, right? Practically, it looks like a heaviness. For me, a lot of times when the Holy Spirit is drawing me, and sorry, y'all, on social media, I'm looking around because I'm looking in the spirit and the natural. I'm looking at the microphone to make sure I'm speaking so the podcast hearers can hear. But when the Holy Spirit is drawing me, and these are often times where it's really heavy, I feel like this heaviness, almost like I'm sad and I want to cry and I don't know why. I used to think that that was depression. That was the enemy's false lens, false perspective, his lie. I used to think that I was oppressed when I had these heavy feelings of sadness, but I learned that it's his way of saying, I got something I want to share with you, and I need to burden your heart so that you can get quiet, so that you can understand that I need you to go into your quiet space with me so I can lay these things out for you. That's kind of how he draws me. Or another practical way that he draws is he will give me this hunger to just read the Bible or read a book or look at or listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video on something spiritual or a sermon or even hearing a song. Like my mind, I'm hearing a song. I often say God is singing over me. I hear this song in my mind and I'm like, God, you're singing to me. Those are ways that we are led by the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And 100% out of the time, if you answer to that unction, that drawing, that heaviness, that pulling, that yearning, it will lead you in a specific direction that is important for whatever season you're in. I pray that this is helping someone. I got to hurry because I only got 30 minutes. All right. Another way that we are led by the Holy Spirit is by governing authority. And governing authority is the use of authority given by a position. Come on. I am developing something in my purpose, y'all. I'm so excited. And part of what it is teaching others where their position in Christ is, right? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. But what does that look like manifested in the earth? What does that look like for the natural part of me? I know where my spiritual part is, but the natural part of me, what position am I seated in? Am I a teacher? Am I a pastor? Do I work in administration? Am I evangelist? Am I apostle? And what do those positions mean, right? Of authority? What's my territory? What have you given me authority over in the earth? What mountain do I operate from? Religion, arts and entertainment, education, right? What skill sets do I hold that give me authority when your spirit blows on the words or blows on the actions that I am effective in this position? My God, I'm getting ready to I believe through God, teach people these areas of their lives so they can walk in purpose, on purpose. So the Holy Spirit leads us by governing authority. He has the authority and the power to lead us through any circumstance or situation, through any season and its lessons. He has the governing authority. Can somebody say amen, which means so be it. I am glad that he has the governing authority. What does that mean? That our situation and our circumstance that is not pleasant right now does not have the governing authority over our lives. The season that we may be struggling to get through does not have the governing authority of our lives. If we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we will then allow him to lead and have the governing authority over our lives. I told you in the beginning, it's a choice to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage those of you that if you're not being led by the Holy Spirit and you constantly see a season or a situation constantly representing itself in your lives, then it might be safe to say that you are not being led by the Holy Spirit and he's not governing over your life because you haven't made that choice specifically to allow him to do so. Some of us don't even know about the Holy Spirit enough to choose him to lead us. Some of us only know about God and maybe about Jesus. I was one of those persons. And so it took me to step away from all that I knew that was religion to learn about this man called the Holy Ghost, called the Holy Spirit, called the Spirit of God. And so I want to encourage you to go down that road. My podcast gives access to that. There's episodes there, the Spiritual Growth Academy. Listen, we teach on the Holy Spirit. There are courses that you can gain access to through the Spiritual Growth Academy to teach you about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and hearing God's voice. Where does the Holy Spirit lead us? We walked through how he leads us practically. Now we want to see where will he lead us, because it's important to know where the Holy Spirit leads us, what his character is, what his reasoning is, so that we can differentiate, we can discern, right, between the leading of the Holy Spirit and the leading of a dark or negative spirit. It's called the gift of discernment of spirits. It's something we have access to when we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So one of the places that the Holy Spirit leads us to is repentance. If you are on my corporate prayer calls, if you have been in any of my lives, you know that I am huge on living a lifestyle of repentance. I do not believe that when we became saved, that because we were forgiven for the things that we transgressed prior to our salvation, that we do not have to come back to the throne and ask God to wash and clean us. David said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me with hyssop that I may be whiter than snow." He knew that it took a lifestyle of repentance, because our flesh is at enmity with God. It does not want to serve God. It does not want to be sensitive to God. So in that, there is a day-to-day struggle. There is an hour to minute. There is a week to month. There is a month to year struggle with our flesh to connect with the things of God. And so sometimes in that struggle, we fall short. The word of God says that we all have fallen short, right? And so he leads us to repentance when there is something that the enemy is accusing us of, when there is an accusation that is giving the enemy access to our life. Practically, you will feel the need to say, "I'm sorry," when you know the Holy Spirit. He leads us to think little of self and much of Jesus. My God, this is humility, practically humility. Some of us struggle with ego and pride, and part of that struggle is always wanting to be right. Part of that struggle is always wanting to have the answer before we will do what we feel God is saying and telling us to do, what we feel the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. And so I am a witness that you need a dose of humility. And part of that dose of humility can oftentimes be embarrassment, can oftentimes be disappointment, because in pride, you're doing things in your own strength that only lead to a challenge, that only lead to a downfall, right? Because God does not honor a prideful or proud heart. He honors a humble heart, right? It says a broken and contrite spirit God will not refuse, right? And so that's his word. And so if we're sensitive to the Spirit of God as part of our getting to know him and being interactive with him, he will begin to lead us to be more selfless and more focused on the things of God. And that's ultimately love, right? And as we begin to love right, and as we begin to love like God loves, we begin to become humble. He leads us into truth. Reading the word of God, we begin to know the true word, the true meaning, that we begin to get revelation and clarity and understanding of the scriptures that we read. He leads us in the truth of our lives and our relationships and our jobs and our decisions and our habits and our way of life. He leads us into all truth, all aspects that make us us, that gives us true identity in the Father. He leads us into love. He leads us into the Father's heart, where we learn the true meaning of love. love. So many of us are broken and have been put through trauma and have had broken relationships that we think we know how to love, even if we're in a new relationship, even if we have a new circle of friends, even if we're in a new organization that we call the church, we think we know love. But until we know the love and the heart of God, without false perspectives, without religious lenses, we truly don't know love. And oftentimes that looks like us always having challenges in these relationships or in these areas because we do not know love like God wants us to know love. And it takes the Spirit of God and us being sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that He can lead us into love. He leads us into holiness. Holiness is not being religious. Holiness is not always getting it right. Holiness is not always being this big preacher. Holiness is not always being in your Bible. Holiness simply means being set apart. You separate yourself from the things that don't make you your best self, that don't serve you well. Holiness means that I choose to set myself aside for the things of God. And however that looks to the world, it looks to the world. But I know that I separate myself to the best of my abilities through the sensitivity and leading of the Holy Spirit to be set apart, to be holy. He leads us into usefulness, right? Some of us feel inadequate. Some of us feel we didn't finish high school. We didn't gain a college degree, that we have no use, right? That we are useless. Some of us have been spoken into poorly, that we will never be productive, that we will never have or we will never be. But I come to challenge that false perspective and false mindset and say that if you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He will lead you into usefulness, your purpose. Your purpose will cause you to be useful in the earth. All right. Sensitivity to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Listen, our key scripture is John 16:13. Study it, ingrain it, meditate on it. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare it to you, the things that are to come and that will happen in the future. My God, listen, if that's not ministry, I don't know what is. My God, if that's not ministry, I don't know what is. John 16:13. That he will teach us and announce and declare the things that are to happen in the future. What are some things that are to happen in the future? Purpose. That means that He's going to announce and tell and lead you through your purpose, right? He's going to give you access to those pages of your life. Let's look at John 16:13. I got to hurry up. I got to wrap it up. He will guide us into all truth. In one sense, this was fulfilled when the New Testament writings were done, right? Divinely inspired by God, right? When they were completed, he led us through all truth by giving us a book, right? A guide, a tool to get through our seasons of life. In another sense, the Holy Spirit continues today to personally lead us into truth, but never in opposition to the scripture, because God's supremely authoritative revelation is closed with the New Testament. So nothing that God does, nowhere that God will lead you will go against scripture. It will always align with scripture. Whatever your calling is, whatever your purpose is, will not go against the will of God. I'll say it again. Whatever your purpose is, whatever your calling is, will not go against the word of God. It has to align with the word of God, period. Okay. And this is why our purpose is the will of God. Our purpose is found within the word of God, because there are practical steps that will guide us into our purpose. Come on, come on, come on. It goes on to say that He will lead us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. The Greek means all truth, or the specific truth about the person of Jesus and the significance of what He said and did. You know, when I became a Christian, I struggled with knowing who Jesus was, and really how do I say it? God, and I pray that this helps somebody, but I just didn't understand. Like, I didn't have this broken heart about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. I didn't get brokenhearted like I saw other people. And it disturbed me because I was like, if I'm saved, I'm supposed to truly understand this sacrifice that this man made for me, right? That God sent his only beloved son to die on the cross for me. But as I began to go through learning about God and learning about my salvation and learning about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and learning about the purpose of the Messiah, the more I became delivered, the more that I worked through my brokenness, the more that I could become relatable to that, right? And so the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to relate to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to truly understand that level of love. One thing that is really significant to me, that really stands out about the sacrifice of Jesus, that was that when he was on the cross, many people thought that the hardest thing for him was to endure the pain that he was physically suffering. Many people believe that the whips on his back and the wound to his side and the crown of thorns and the level of thirst that he had, right? Because they wouldn't give him water. They gave him vinegar, right? Many have a false belief that that was the greatest pain that Jesus struggled with. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this is my revelation. This may not be yours, but this is my revelation. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus struggled so much so that the word says that he bled. He cried tears, drops of blood, right? And my revelation is the greatest pain and suffering that Jesus experienced was knowing that for a certain amount of time, oh my God, he would be separated from the Father. He would be separated from God, that God would have to turn his back in order for Jesus to truly carry and feel the weight of what he was doing, to feel the weight of our sins, to truly and undeniably be the witness that says, I have bore the sins of the world. I have placed them on my shoulder. I have carried them alone. That he would have to be separated from God for a time that he could raise and be risen with all power. I believe that the leading of the Holy Spirit wants to get us to that point, that we begin to understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the love of the Father, that we would not want to be separated from all that is God. I pray that blesses somebody. It goes on to say, he will tell us things that are to come. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will guide us into our different seasons in which we have no visible example. Come on, y'all. How many of you are in a season that you ain't had no example? What, maybe that season right now is marriage. There was no good example of how to do marriage. Maybe that season is debt. There was no example of how to do your finances. Maybe that season right now, you know, could be a myriad of struggles. It could be addiction. There was no right way to walk through your problems. There was no right way to walk through your pain. And so, you know, your trauma leads you into addiction, whatever that looks like. But I believe the more that we become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that he will tell us all things to come. He will walk us through our different seasons that will nurture and that will cultivate the very thing that is our purpose, the very thing that we are here to do. And as we begin to walk through these hardships, as we begin to walk through the chiseling that makes us diamonds, we will be able to walk others through it so that they don't have to be succumbed to the enemy, to be succumb to the challenges of life, because we made a decision to say yes to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. He will not speak of his own authority, but he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's ministry is revealing Jesus to us. We will truly know Jesus through the Spirit of God. To bear testimony of Jesus, as said in John 15, 26, he uses many different ways and many different gifts to accomplish this. There are gifts of the Spirit that we get access to being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, but the purpose is always the same, to reveal Jesus. Now listen, I want to know Jesus. Right. When I pray, I know that there are three ways I can pray. I can pray to Father, the God, Abba, Father. I can pray to Jesus as my Savior, but also as an intercessor. Right. On behalf, I go to him as friend. And then I can pray to God, the ancient, the true, just and righteous judge, the Ancient of Days. And I can go to the true righteous judge on behalf of whatever accusations the enemy might be bringing to a situation or circumstance. One may speak of dreams. One may speak of visions, experiences, revelations, and say they came from the Holy Spirit. But many of those supposed revelations of the Spirit say nothing or almost nothing about Jesus himself. Check the prophetic words that are being spoken over to you, because just because someone says they had a dream or a vision or they experienced or they got a revelation, if it's not backed up with the word of God, 9 times out of 10, they ain't sensitive to the Spirit of God. That's why everything I do, I always try to, it has to come from the word of God. It has to lead back to the word of God, for its validity should come from the word of God. This verse, John 16, 13, is decisive against all additions and pretended revelations subsequent to and besides Christ. It is being the work of the Spirit to testify and declare the things of Christ, not anything new and beyond him. Everything that the Spirit, and being sensitive to the Spirit of God, everything that it will lead you into, everything that it will teach you to, will be about the Messiah, will be about the ultimate sacrifice, will be about the mission that is Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit guides us into God's truth so we can discern right from wrong, truth from error, and good from evil. It's called discernment of spirits. When we are sensitive to the Spirit of God, we get access to the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is discernment of spirits. It is truly the way that we discern from good and bad, right? Good spirits versus bad spirits. Our responsibility is to be good stewards over these treasures, these visions, these revelations, these dreams entrusted to us, which ultimately leads us into our purpose. We are never given these things just because. We are never given revelation just because. We are never given unctioning just because. We are never given access to the anointing of God just because. We are given this because it is to do a work in the earth. I pray, y'all, that this has blessed y'all. I'm 6 minutes over, but I have reached my goal. I pray that this blessed you all. I truly pray that this seven-part series will really help some of you align, walk in, get to one step closer to your purpose. You know, I am really seeing God begin to show me the framework of my purpose manifested here in the natural, right? It's no longer just in the spirit. It's no longer just a dream or a thought, but the framework, the components of what it is for me to walk in purpose are coming to fruition. And it is my prayer and my dream and my hope is that as I begin to complete the development phase of where I am with the Holy Spirit, God, I talked about it on one of the shows. I was asked looking for my notes, y'all. One word to describe my season, and I was led to preparation, and then I was given several words in regards to preparation. One was development. One was instruction. One was groom or grooming. One was discipline, guidance, and priming or priming. And so these are core focal points right now in this season of purpose for me. It's development, developing both myself. I was driving. I had a hard time sleeping. Let me give this little testimony. I'm gonna get off of here. But I love to be real and transparent because that makes my ministry what it is. So I had a hard time sleeping last night, and I began I began to struggle with doubt. I began to struggle with fear. And listen, when it comes heavy. One thing about trying to walk in purpose is the enemy doesn't want you to. And so he begins to try to oppress you with feelings of you're inadequate, with feelings of you're not enough, with feelings of nobody is going to want what you're offering, with feelings of nobody needs what you're trying to offer, right? And so I began to feel all of these feelings about what I feel my purpose is and what I feel I'm going to be offering, right? I know that my purpose is three parts. It's a service, right? It's a platform, and then it's a product. And so in these three areas, there's all of this development. And so I began to just recite the word of God, and I began to pray to the Holy Spirit and was like, I just need you to empower me, because if I sink into these thoughts, I'm not going to be consistent. I'm not going to be disciplined. I'm not going to do these videos. I'm not going to do these lives. I'm not going to do the podcast. I'm not going to keep working at these tools. I'm not going to keep developing this platform. I'm not going to keep developing this product. I'm just going to go back to a 9-to-5, and I'm going to do what I know how to do well, what I know gives me results in the natural. It doesn't make me walk in purpose, right? It doesn't bring me closer to the will of God, but at least I know the outcome. We settle. And so as I was driving this morning and I was thinking about the struggle last night, Holy Spirit was like, Athena, you have to truly walk through this thing. And he began to show me how I like to make what he gives me impartial, pretty. I want to get to the pretty part. I want to get to the curb appeal, right? Right. You can have a beautiful home on the outside with great curb appeal and go inside and nothing's been done. But you can't tell from the outside unless you have access to the inside. It's when they're remodeling a home, they don't start from the outside. They go inside. They gut, right? They put up new drywall. They move walls. They take down walls, right? They lay new flooring and paint the walls and granite countertops and different fixtures, right? And so he was like, Athena, you have to go through this process from the inside out. You got to walk through these tools that I'm giving you to give to other people, but you have to walk it through. You can't skip steps, ma'am. So go back, walk through it. I'm like, God, but it's going to take so much time because you gave me a lot of tools, sir. You gave me a lot of stuff. Now, if you want me to walk through all this stuff, it's going to be a year. Listen, don't put our timing is not God's timing. Walk through whatever God is walking you through to full maturity, because the Habakkuk 2:2 says, write down the vision and make it plain. And part of it says that it will happen in its appointed time. There's nothing that can stop it. Some of us think that we got to get stuff out there right away. People ain't going to need it no more, or somebody else is going to do it. The devil is a lie. What is for you is for you. What God has called you to do, only you can do. There may be replicas to it, but the effectiveness is not the same, because 9 times out of 10, the replicas don't carry the anointing. My God, let me get up off of here. I love you all. I pray that this has blessed y'all. For those of you on social media, I'll see you tomorrow. The next one is good, good, y'all. Ooh, the next one is so good. It's talking about time. Kairos and Kronos, time of God. Listen, I'm excited about the next one. I'm excited about all of them, but the next one, it really speaks to me. So for those of you on social media, I'll see you tomorrow. For my podcast listeners, I love you all, and I'll see you next week Friday, or I'll talk to you next week Friday. Love you all. Bye now.